Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, September 15, 2022, 1 John.
All right, before we get started, he gets tired of being called Negative Al. There is a negative in the Hebrew, Al, and it's a negative, Negative Al, but that's not Al. Al is positive Al. So it's tomorrow is positive Al's birthday, tomorrow. So happy birthday, Positive Al. Wife Sherry said, it's the old man's birthday. I said, are you kidding? He is a spring rooster. So happy birthday, Positive Al. By the way, as a communicator of the Word of God, I have been truly blessed with phenomenal deacons, administrators of this local church that have done a phenomenal job, and unfortunately most of you never see all the hours and hours and hours behind the scene that they do here day after day after day, so that I can do my job, study and teach the Word of God. But they do an absolutely phenomenal job, and I have been truly blessed with phenomenal administrators, deacons, in the 45 years that I have been here. And as I said, unfortunately, most of you, you haven't got a clue. You stumble in here four times during the week for an hour. Sometimes on Sunday, maybe 2 hours. But you have no clue. They stumble in here almost every day with all kinds. There's lots and lots of things that have to be done. And if I had to do them, well then, I wouldn't have anything to teach you. I would go with the elk hunters are out hunting. They're after Wapiti Pete. Well, actually, they have a cow tag, so it's Wapiti Patricia, I guess, that they're after out there. So they all appreciate if you would pray that they harvest the best eating cow out there. And I told them, hey, if you don't find a cow elk, there's a lot of cows, just shoot one, you know. They're big, a lot of meat. Some of you just come in a little bit too serious. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for the principle that you are a God of grace. And you have provided for us all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And we thank you for the privilege of assembling this evening in freedom to worship our Lord Jesus Christ through the study of the Mind of Christ Bible doctrine. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Jim Showers is the executive director of the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. And he says, starts out with a question. What is BDS? It stands for boycott, divestment, and sanctions. Now, these terms might not be familiar to you at all. But if you are Jewish or Israeli, you are keenly aware that this acronym stands for warfare, terrorism, and the persecution of the Jewish people. It is hatred, and it is evil. It is the satanic evil of anti-Semitism. And it's right here in America as we speak. Mort Klein, president of the Zionist Organization of America, explained it well when he said, quote, BDS, boycott, divestment, sanctions, is not a movement aimed at improving Israel. BDS is a political, propaganda, cultural, and economic warfare campaign to completely dismantle and eradicate Israel. In fact, we are dealing with a warfare campaign against the entire Jewish people, wherever they may be. BDS holds to one worldview, the elimination of Israel. At the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry, we oppose BDS. The Word of God opposes all anti-Semitism. Oppose BDS movement and all of its policies. It is anti-Semitic to the core. Recently, Jewish people in Boston is an evil, evil city. But not only Boston, but all over America. BDS is going on all over America, in cities in the United States. That guarantees divine judgment from God on America. This is going on right now. Recently, Jewish people in Boston were shocked to discover that a shadow group, BDS Boston, published a detailed mapping project. In that mapping project, they gave pinpoints and gave an interactive map to show where all synagogues, schools, newspapers, philanthropists, even churches and individuals who support Israel's existence, where they are. The website openly promotes dismantling and disrupting American Jewish institutions. The people who join BDS Boston and similar groups throughout our nation are deeply committed to their cause and openly oppose Israel's existence. Some of those people claim to be Christians. Well, a lot of them are. There are Christians living in Satan's cosmic system. You can't tell the Christians from the non-Christians when you're living in the cosmic system. The believers in the cosmic system doing the same thing that the unbelievers in the cosmic system are doing. Some of those people claim to be Christians. Well, a lot of them are. And support that work under the guise of peace and justice. It is anti-Semitic to call for Israel's destruction. That is one. You talk about racists. Liberals and socialists are always using the race word. I was leaving the other night. Got in my Hummer. And a gal, and the thing is, it was after we just finished on alcoholism and drug addiction. She would have been a great illustration. And she was going to plot down and live here in the grass in the front. I said, "You're going to have to leave. You're a racist." I said, "Well, no, I'm a Christian. I'm not racist." "No, you're racist. I bet there are no Indians in your church." I said, "Only Navajo." "I bet you have no black people in your church." "Tyrone's in there." "We have black and Indians." "No, you're racist." "Actually, I think maybe you're racist." "Well, look at what you're driving. Look at this." I said, "It was a gift from God." "No way." Yep. Well, she went on, and then finally, Positive Al, "I can verify that there are Indians and blacks in our church." So Al stepped in, and as he stepped in, I drove off. I said, "Hell with this, you know." I don't know if it was alcohol, drugs, combination, but anyway. She just could not believe it. I said, "Well, hell, why don't you come on and visit once in a while?" It is BDS is anti-Semitic. It is anti-Semitic to call for Israel's destruction. That is racism. And socialism in America and liberalism in America are racist against Israelis. Don't be fooled. The BDS Boston Mapping Project exposes the true evil nature of BDS and the enormity of the threats against the Jewish people. Yet what is happening in Boston is not unique. Anti-Semitism is rampant all across America and in Europe. And it isn't new. The Nazis of Germany did the same thing. Now this is Bible doctrine, just as important. This is a part of the Word of God. Anti-Semitism is part of the Word of God. What the Nazis did in Germany is the same thing that BDS is doing in America and Europe. They also thoroughly mapped the global Jewish population before systematically murdering millions of Jewish people in World War II. Millions! But what did they do first? They mapped, thoroughly mapped, the global Jewish population and then systematically executed them. The Friends of Israel was begun in 1938 when the Nazis were brutally trying to eliminate the Jewish people. Our founders were faithful Christians who came to the aid of the Jewish people escaping persecution and murder in Europe. We are going to continue to aid the Jewish people everywhere, from Ukraine to Argentina, from Israel to here at home. One of our highest priorities is to shower our Jewish friends and neighbors with tangible acts of Christian love. Well, this is where we are in 1 John 3, beginning in the second half of verse 10, for the rest of chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, virtue love. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Impersonal love for all. We will continue to stand against anti-Semitism in any form and build meaningful relationships with Jewish communities while promoting Christian engagement, just as we did in 1938. One of the effective ways we oppose the BDS threat is by teaching people the Jewish roots of our Christian faith. Israel matters to all of humanity because Israel matters to God. Jeremiah 31, 1-3. Yeah, Israel matters to all of humanity. Now, I don't know if the United States of America is going to be around in the tribulation or in the millennial kingdom, but I do know this: Israel will be. Israel will be delivered from every anti-Semitic attack and attempt to destroy them. And when Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, He is the King, the Son of David, the King who will rule from Jerusalem, from Israel, the entire world. Israel will be the center and the capital of the entire world in the millennial kingdom. And Jesus Christ, in His hypostatic union, undiminished deity, true humanity. In His true humanity, He is Jewish. He is the Son of David, and He will rule from Jerusalem the entire world for 1,000 years in perfect environment with absolute righteousness and perfect justice. There will be great, great prosperity and blessing. There will be almost no disease. The only way people will die is by committing a capital crime. If you commit a capital crime, you'll be executed. And that's where we are in our study in 1 John 3. We are studying the doctrine of murder. And murder is a capital crime. And it demands capital punishment. There is legitimate killing. And capital punishment is one of those. And that's the way some people, if you only lived to be 350 years old in the millennial kingdom, then you were a criminal and you committed a capital crime and you were executed. A lot of the people in the millennial kingdom will live the entire 1,000 years. Unless you commit a capital crime. Well, this was fantastic. I've been supported Friends of Israel for some time, and they have been very, very orthodox. They stand right with the absolute truth of the Word of God all the way down the line. And they are doing a fantastic ministry in America and all over the world. 1 John chapter 3, the switch to a new subject, impersonal love, virtue love, the doctrine of virtue love, which includes personal love for God the Father, motivating impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ. It begins in the second half of verse 10. And then continues the rest of chapter 3, and then goes on in greater detail in chapter 4, and then on in chapter 5. 1 John 3:10. B. Anyone who does not do righteousness, that is, produces grace righteousness, sacred honor, integrity, virtue, then he absolutely is not a student, a disciple of God. Nor is anyone a student or disciple of God who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love. Verse 11, because this is the command, which command you have heard from the beginning, from the Lord Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union at the first advent. He taught this over and over and over, that we, all believers, should love one another. Love one another with impersonal love. And then in contrast, verse 12, absolutely not as Cain, who was motivated by the evil one, Satan, and he violently murdered his brother, Abel. And for what reason did he murder him? Because his works, his offerings, kept on being evil, worthless, degenerate. But the works, the offerings, sacrifices of his brother, Abel, were righteous. Grace, righteous production of a spiritually mature believer. Attitude toward the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ divides the entire human race into two categories. In God's thinking, there are only two categories of mankind: the believer and the unbeliever. Adam and his wife, Eshah, had two sons. The first two sons represent both categories. Cain was an unbeliever, Abel was a believer. We saw the history on that, Genesis 4, 1 through 8. Cain was an unbeliever living in Satan's cosmic system. He presented offerings to God, but these offerings were human good and evil, worthless. Degenerate, 1 John 3:12. Cain is the father of all false religion. Man trying to come to God in his own way. Going to come to God in his own way. Going to do his own thing. And I can't tell you how many Christians have told me that. I'm just doing my own thing. You know? Well, why don't you try doing God's thing instead of your thing? Cain is the father of all false religion, man trying to come to God in his own way, human good and evil, worthless, totally worthless, degenerate. Cain's religion was destitute of any sense of being a sinner, nor of needing a Savior. The Scriptures declare regarding Cain, he was arrogant, self-centered. He has a man-centered religion, but no personal relationship with the living and true God, Jesus Christ. He's angry with God, refuses to bring a sin offering, murders his brother, lies to God. But that's any, when you live in the cosmic system, I can tell you one thing, you'll lie. You'll lie because your mentor is the devil, who is a liar and the father of all lies. When you're living in the cosmic system, you just lie. You lie to people who are closest to you. You lie to people who love you. And you just, instead of presenting and talking with honesty and truth, you lie. You've become the devil's disciple. And he was a wanderer. But on the other hand, Abel is a believer. He has placed his faith in the Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Abel's offering, his sacrifice, in which atoning blood was shed, was his admission that he was a sinner, and his expression of faith in the Savior, the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, substitutionary atonement. Abel not only believed in the Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, as his Savior, but he then grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, advanced to spiritual maturity, and he had maximum grace righteous production in his life. 1 John 3:12, our verse, but also that special chapter in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of Old Testament heroes. All those mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 are the Old Testament heroes, spiritually mature believers. They have attained spiritual maturity. They have developed grace righteousness, and that was Abel. The nature of rebellious, arrogant man unfolds in the unbeliever, Cain. However, the humble man who recognizes that he is a sinner and that he needs a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is revealed in his brother Abel. So again, absolutely not as Cain, who was motivated by the evil one, Satan, and he violently murdered his brother Abel. And for what reason did he murder him? Because his works, his offerings, kept on being evil, human good and evil, worthless, degenerate. But the offerings of his brother were righteous, grace, righteous production. Now that brought us to the doctrine of murder, and we are in point one. We didn't even finish point one. We're still in point one. We studied part of point one last time. Point one is definition and description, but we haven't completed point one yet. Underneath definition and description, subpoint one, murder is the unlawful killing of another human being. Cain murdering his brother Abel with malice aforethought, expressed or implied by the motivation of arrogance inside the cosmic system. Subpoint two, the motivation for murder comes from mental attitude sins, such as hatred. Cain hated his brother Abel. Comes from anger. He was angry. Bitterness, jealousy, all of these were mental attitude sins that Cain had toward his brother Abel. Self-righteous arrogance, conspiracy arrogance, criminal arrogance, political arrogance, crusader arrogance, the arrogance of ignorance, the arrogance of unhappiness. Subpoint three, murder is both a sin and a crime related to living in Satan's cosmic system. And it is often manifested in religions. All religions of the ancient world were involved in murder, human sacrifice. Today, many religions are doing the exact same thing. Islam today is characterized by murder. terrorism, honor killings, suicide bombers, beheadings, jihad. Islam is a religion of murder. And it's all throughout America and all around the world. Subpoint 4. Murder is a major attack on freedom and self-determination as an issue in the angelic conflict. Subpoint 5. Murder is the invention of Satan, and he is the motivator of murder. As we have seen in our verse, 1 John 3:12, and we also studied John chapter 8, verses 37 to 44. Murder is Satan's genius to invent a system to attack freedom and self-determination. And that brought us to subpoint 6, and that's where we are. Subpoint 6. All killing is not murder. For example, capital punishment is not murder. Capital punishment for crime, for a capital crime, is not murder. In fact, it is demanded by God and is taught in the scriptures in Romans 13, 1 through 5, Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. Animals that kill people, as well as humans that kill people, are to be executed. We are responsible for any decision we make to murder someone else. Genesis 9:6, whoever sheds man's blood, murder, capital crime of murder, by man, his blood shall be shed, capital punishment. And that is commanded, a mandate from God. Man has the right to slaughter animals for food, Genesis 9, 3 and 4. But this does not give man the right to slaughter people. Capital punishment must be the result of due process of law. Due process of law. There must be at least two witnesses. We saw this in Numbers 35, verse 30. Homicide is first degree murder and must be punished by death. Numbers 35, 16 to 18, Leviticus 24, 17. And now that brings us to another legitimate category of killing. Another area of legitimate killing is in battle, in warfare. Turn over to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. It is not murder to kill in battle. In war, killing the enemy is legitimate. Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Joshua, notice who is giving Joshua the commands here, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai. Who is giving Joshua this command? The Lord Jesus Christ. For I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, his land. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, except that you may carry off their plunder and livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the city. So Joshua and the whole army moved out to attack Ai, following the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look over at verse 24. When Israel had finished killing all the men of Ai in the fields and in the desert where they had chased them, and when every one of them had been put to the sword, all the Israelites returned to Ai and killed those who were in it. Another area of legitimate killing is in battle. The soldier represents his country while functionally, impersonally, and professionally. It makes no difference who the object is. You do your job and kill impersonally and professionally, not emotionally. A soldier functions impersonally and professionally to preserve the freedom of his nation. To protect, preserve the freedoms of his nation, to protect his wife, his family, his children. Israel, as the first client nation to God, was commanded to be prepared for war. Much of the establishment truth found in the Word of God is first mentioned in relation to Israel. The bona fide MO of warfare is declared in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 8. In Ecclesiastes 3, 8, it says, "There is a time for war. There is a time for war and a time for peace." So here's a principle. Principle number one. If you don't make time for war by being prepared, by being prepared for war, then there will never be peace. If you don't make time for war by being prepared for war, then there will never be peace. Principle number two, killing in battle is not murder. Killing in battle is not murder. Psalm 144, verse 1. "Blessed be the Lord, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." 2 Samuel 22, 35. "He, God, trains my hands for battle." Killing in battle is not murder. Principle number three. The Lord Jesus Christ himself holds the record for killing in battle. The Lord Jesus Christ himself holds the record for killing in battle. Isaiah 37, 36. When he killed, Jesus Christ killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. That's the record. But our Lord Jesus Christ will break that record when he comes back. He's coming back at the second advent. When he comes back at the second advent, he will, all the armies of the world will be gathered in the valley of Megiddo to fight Jesus Christ. And they will all be slaughtered. And every unbeliever on the face of the earth will be executed. Only believers go into the millennial kingdom. So our Lord will break his own record at the second advent, when he returns to terminate the Armageddon campaign. There are many passages that cover this. Revelation 14:20, Revelation 19, verses 11 and 15, Isaiah 63, 1 through 6, Ezekiel 39, 11 to 13, Joel 2, verse 20. Fourth principle. God is the source of some wars. God is the source of some wars. 1 Chronicles 5:22. "Because the war was from the Lord." 1 Chronicles 5:22. "Because the war was from the Lord." All right, now that all that is under point one. Definition and description. You ready for point two? Yeah. All right. Point two, the origin of murder is the devil. Our verse, 1 John 3:12, and then John 8:37 to 44, which we have studied. We studied that last time. The origin of murder is the devil. He is the one who motivated Cain to murder his brother Abel. Three, murder, violence, and terror always occurs when man is living in Satan's cosmic system. And when you operate with this, you are following the way of Cain. It's called the way of Cain. In Jude verses 10 and 11, murder, violence, and terror always occurs when man is living in Satan's cosmic system. This is the way of Cain. Jude 10 and 11. But these reversionists malign what they do not understand. Furthermore, what things they do understand by natural instinct, emotion, as unreasonable creatures, by these false doctrines they receive corruption. Woe to them! Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. Subpoint two, under point three, the rise of crime and violence indicates national degeneration and the approach of historical catastrophe in the form of the fifth cycle of national discipline. The rise of crime and violence indicates national degeneration and the approach of historical catastrophe in the form of the fifth cycle of national discipline. Murder in our country, as we speak, is at an all-time high. Crime is at an all-time high. And Satan has got his false teachers. They're living, and some of them are believers and some of them are unbelievers living in the cosmic system, but they're saying the exact same thing what Satan wants them to say. Defund the police. And you hear that over and over and over again. Defund the police. Where does that come from? The Bible? Absolutely not. That comes from the ruler of planet Earth and those living in Satan's cosmic system, and not just unbelievers, but believers as well. Believers and unbelievers. All throughout this land, as we speak, promoting defund the police. And as that movement goes on, state to state, California, horrible. Oregon, horrible. Washington, horrible. New York, horrible. Chicago, horrible. All over our nation. Defund the police. Even on the East Coast. Now you're getting it in the East Coast. In North Carolina. Even in Georgia. Massachusetts. Defund the police. The rise of crime and violence indicates national degeneration and the approach of historical catastrophe in the form of the fifth cycle of discipline. Turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. Now, Jeremiah was God's servant, one of the great, great servants of the Lord, great communicator of the Word of God, Jeremiah. And he was a communicator for the southern kingdom, Judah, and the believers in Judah hated Jeremiah. They hated him. They hated him. They didn't listen to him. In fact, they tried to kill him. They tried to kill Jeremiah. They didn't like what he was saying. If you don't turn back to God and His Word, then God will bring the Chaldeans. He'll bring the Chaldeans under Nebuchadnezzar, and they will come in and they will destroy our nation, destroy Jerusalem, and destroy most of the people, and take those survivors prisoners. And it broke Jeremiah's heart. He loved the southern kingdom, Judah. But the people were living in Satan's cosmic system. They didn't want to hear truth. Every time Jeremiah taught, they were negative and arrogant and got mad and angry. That damn Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 31, I hear a cry as of a woman in labor, a groan as of one bearing her first child, the cry of the daughter of Zion. Who's the daughter of Zion? Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was devastated, destroyed under the fifth cycle of national discipline, gasping for breath, stretching out her hands and saying, "Alas, I am fainting. My life is given over to murderers." Sub point three. Murder is always preceded by the mental attitude sins of hatred, anger, arrogance. And we see this in Romans chapter 1, 29 to 31. Murder is always preceded by mental attitude sins such as hatred, anger, bitterness, jealousy. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, let's start at verse 29. They have become filled with every category of reversionism. Reversionism, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, jealousy, murder. Full of jealousy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. Sounds like the United States of America. Subpoint four. Remember, point three is murder, violence, and terror always occur when man is living in Satan's cosmic system. Subpoint four, this pattern of degeneration is developed to the point where the client nation to God is destroyed. This pattern of degeneration is developed to the point where the client nation to God is destroyed. Turn over to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites. And that's really the mandate for the United States of America. Hear, listen, understand, believe, follow and obey the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no Emmet. Aleph, E-M-E-T. No Emmet. Emmet is truth. There's no truth. There's no doctrinal orientation. There is no Kesev. C-H-E-S-E-D. That's the Hebrew word grace. Emet is the Hebrew word for truth. Kesev, the Hebrew word for grace. There is no truth. There is no kesev, no grace, no grace orientation, no doctrinal orientation, no grace orientation. There is no acknowledgement of God in the land, the living and true God. There is only cursing and lying and murder. Sounds like the United States. There is only cursing and lying and murder and stealing and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land mourns, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying. But let no man bring a charge, let no man accuse another, judging and slandering and gossiping. For your people are like those who bring charges against the priest. This is rejection of spiritual authority. Attack on the communicator of the Word of God as well as the Word of God itself. You stumble day and night, and the false prophets stumble with you. Those false teachers living in Satan's cosmic system. So I will destroy your nation. I will destroy your nation. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge, Bible doctrine, no truth, no doctrinal orientation, no grace orientation. Because you have rejected knowledge, Bible doctrine, I also reject you as my nation. Because you have ignored the law of your God, the absolute truth of the Word of God, I also will ignore your children. Pretty powerful passage. The pattern of degeneration is developed in the client nation of God to the point of the destruction of that client nation. Now that brings us to point four. Murder is the only overt sin listed in the classification of the seven worst sins that the Lord hates. Murder is the only overt sin. Lots of mental attitude sins there, and sins of the tongue mentioned in Proverbs 6, 16 and 19. But murder is the only overt sin listed in the classification of the seven worst sins that the Lord hates. Turn over to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. There are six things that the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to Him. These are things that the Lord hates that are an abomination to the living and true God. Haughty eyes, arrogance. That's the first category of sins. Mental attitude sins. Here it's arrogance. A lying tongue. That's the second category. Sins of the tongue. And the third category of personal sins. And hands that shed innocent blood. Murder. The Lord hates murder. Murder is an abomination to the Lord. That's why He has demanded capital punishment. And then He goes on. A heart, that's the only overt sin, murder. A heart that devises, I know some of you thought that, your favorite sin would be in there, overt sin. You know, eating too much chocolate or something like that, I don't know. But booze. Usually everybody likes to get the booze sermon. I have some really good booze sermons. I get them when we get to the right passage. A heart that devises evil plans, conspiracies, revolution. Feet that run rapidly to evil. Troublemakers. A false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among the brothers, slander, maligning, judging. These are the seven sins that the Lord hates that are an abomination to Him. And the only one of those that's an overt sin is murder. The Lord hates murder. Point five. Therefore, murder is prohibited in the Word of God. Exodus 20, verse 13, Deuteronomy 5, verse 17, it says, Thou shalt not murder. That's in the Decalogue, the commandments. Exodus 20, 13, Deuteronomy 5, 17, Thou shalt not murder. And then, I turn over to Matthew 5. The Lord Jesus Christ takes it even further. Matthew 5. The Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class. He did that a lot. Matthew 5, verse 21. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment, capital punishment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Wow. What is hate? It's mental murder. It's mental murder. You've committed murder, your mental attitude. Jesus Christ says, hey, you guys make the big issue. Well, I haven't murdered anybody. Have you hated another believer? Yes, 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 yes. Well, you've committed murder a bunch of times. You're a murderer. And that is from the Lord Jesus Christ. Point six. Believers living in the cosmic system are capable of murder. Believers living in the cosmic system are capable of murder. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you can commit murder. Turn over to 2 Samuel 12. 2 Samuel 12. We're going to take a look at a guy who is the author of most of the Psalms. A fellow who was called a man after the Lord's own heart. Certainly he couldn't commit murder. 2 Samuel 12. And by the way, most fundies, they just can't explain this. They can't explain this. They even say if you commit murder, you're not saved. You are not a believer. There are a lot of believers that have committed murder, capital crimes. And one of them was a fellow named David. And the Lord Jesus Christ in his true humanity is the son of David. And in 2 Samuel 12, verse 9, it says, why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife, Uriah's wife, to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. David committed murder. So don't, we're going to, by the way, we got a passage coming up in 1 John chapter 3. And there's been a lot of mistranslations on this. And a lot of people think that if you've committed murder, you do not have eternal life. You are not saved. Well, David committed murder and he had eternal life. So obviously that's not what that passage says. Well, we're going to have to see what that passage says when we get there. We're getting close. It's in verse 15. We'll be there by the next two or three years, you know. So believers living in the cosmic system are capable of murder. Point seven. Where guilt is established, the penalty for murder is death, capital punishment. Where guilt is established, the penalty for murder is death, capital punishment. Genesis 9, verse 6, Romans 13, 3 and 4, Numbers 35, 30 and 31, Matthew 26, 52. Genesis 9, 6, Romans 13, 3 and 4, Numbers 35, 30 and 31, Matthew 26, 52. All right. That's the doctrine of murder. We'll pick it up here and move on in our passage next week with our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your magnificent grace. We ask that God the Holy Spirit might challenge each one of us with the absolute truth you've given to us this evening, your word, that it might become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.